G'day and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3. We're going to get straight into it this week. We've got a little bit different format with games dropping on Wednesday and Thursday. We're going to jump into some WNBL finals and semifinals talk. Then we're going to jump into some NBL stuff. And then we might squeeze in a little bit of local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em a little bit early, drop it in episode one of this week. But of course, to do any of that, I need a guest. And I've got a returning guest host this week in Ben Wilson. How you doing, mate?
I'm well, Mel. Happy to be here. It's an exciting time to be a basketball fan, I think, at the moment. NBL finals, WNBL finals, NBL one heating up, NBA. It's all around good time.
Definitely is. And thank God that NBL one, you know, is where it is right now, because otherwise no NBL, NBL winding up and WNBL about to wind up. We've been left with just a couple more months of NBA and then a bit of a drought, but thank God we've got the NBL one. So nothing to worry about. We're all good. We're all good now, thankfully. All right, let's jump in.
I think the other conferences started, last weekend or one of them? I think
East.
And then yep. Central starts this week or something. So mm-hmm. The domestic basketball on.
Indeed, and we all wrap up just in time for the finals, which I believe are going to be in Perth this year, not Melbourne, but that is still up in the air. That could change any day, so don't book your flights just yet, hey? All right, WNBL, let's have a look, because there's a lot been going on this season. With everything going on, there's lots going on in the NBA and the basketball world bit at the moment, but WNBL, Townsville Fire absolutely balled out in their two semifinals. They really put it on Sammy Whitcomb and Lauren Scherfy, both friends of the show, obviously, for the Perth. But Perth Lynx just unable to get it done in that first game. And then they were beaten at home. Much tighter second game, of course, season on the line. You know, you're gonna bring your best. And they did. And they had a really different season this year, Perth Lynx. Last year they made the playoffs, but they didn't have a really solid run. If anything, they had a bit of a lead, and in their last few games, they really didn't play good basketball, and it all slipped away. Absolute opposite for them this season. They had to ball out. They got themselves into a position just because they didn't win games early in the season. They put themselves in a position where they had to win out. They did. And unfortunately for them, their prize for doing that was an absolutely on fire Townsville Fire. You've got your Steph Reeds, you've got the Hawk, you've got obviously Shyla joining in with seven games to go. She played all seven, of course. Now she's in the playoffs. You've got friend of the show, Michaela Roof, Lauren Nicholson. Who else? Yeah, Courtney Woods. I could read out the whole roster, but basically it's stacked. They're doing really well. They're in the finals, but we do have one big question mark left. There's one game left. They're tied one apiece, and that's the Melbourne Boomers and the Southside Flyers. Look, what's your prediction, mate? Southside Flyers or Boomers for this one in the WNBL semifinal?
Good question. I think, I'll be a bit boring here and go with the Boomers. I think the Kayla Georges, the Tiffany Mitchells, I think they're just going to be a bit too much in this contest. I think we were talking about it before we got on air. The points in the paint is going to be a big telling factor in previous games. And I think with who the Boomers have inside, I think they'll be able to dominate that again and come away with the victory and then move on to play the hottest team in the comp.
Yeah, look, it's going to be interesting because obviously, you know, you've got your Flyers with your Blixarves, you know, a little bit older, yes, but, you know, Abby Bishop, can she turn back the clock a bit and get things rolling? Rebecca Cole, you know, Maddie Rocci, what can they do? They came out and they blitzed that first game, but Boomers bounce back. They are the champs till they're the champs no more. Look, just to keep it interesting, I'll take the Flyers. I'll take the Flyers, but I think this game's either going to be, like many of these sorts of games, it's either going to be tight or it's going to be an absolute blowout. Someone's just going to step into the gym and it's going to be over early, or this thing is just going to go the full nine rounds. I can't see it going, you know, one of those NBA style games where someone gets a huge lead and then someone comes back. I think it's the end of a long season and these women are just going to put it all out there early, and it's either going to be a knockout punch or it's going to go the full nine. But big pieces inside with Kayla George in that second game, that as you said, that was really a big, it was an extra 10 points for the Boomers. You've got, you know, Christy Wallace absolutely balling out, has balled out the entire season. Like, she barely missed a Signet NBL Player of the Week. Players of the Week. So, you know, it's...
Queensland girl too.
Yeah, exactly. And
there's plenty of them.
There is.
Playing in the WNBL, but one of the JPC juniors. Mm-hmm. Doing good things, trying to get back overseas.
Good, indeed. Yeah. But whoever gets through, they've got to take on the Townsville Fire. So, again, you got to feel a little bit like the Perth Lynx. You know, you're going to have to do the hard yards. You're going to have to get through, and then, boom, here's your reward. A team that's absolutely balling. I think it's 13 or 14, 14-0 in their last. All of the last preseason games, and of course the including the two semifinals. It's a tough ask for any opposition, either team going in. I think Boomers might be a little bit better suited to it, with just the fact that you've got someone big and balling like Kayla George is. But yeah, Flyers do it by the numbers, and that's how Townsville have been doing it too. You know, obviously they've had standout performances by Nicholson, Reed, you know, Hill's been helping out, but it's really going to be, really going to be interesting to see how that shakes out and everything. I think Flyers are a better look for them, but either way, we'll find out Thursday night when Southside take on the Boomers in the All-Victorian clash that will decide who takes on our Townsville Fire up here in Queensland.
Very exciting.
It is indeed.
Go Fire in the finals.
Look, I have to agree. Every single guest who's come in has been, you know, all about the Fire. They're here, they're in the grand final game, and tickets were released for their first game, obviously, because they're the number one seed. So they, they've got that all booked and locked up, and lo and behold, the ticketing website crashed in the first couple of hours because everyone's desperate to clamoring to get tickets up in that Townsville Fire Arena, which, look, I wish could be there. Unfortunately not, but I'll definitely be watching on KO. So that's going to be an absolutely great final. Townsville are back in the finals after rather short hiatus, but still they're back, and we'll see which Victorian team's going to join them, whether it'll be the Boomers going for two straight or if it's going to be Flyers Fire. So cannot wait. But we do have, before that game, that all important game that's going to happen Thursday, we've got a Wednesday evening game happening down in Sydney that I believe is already a sellout once more. The Breakers taking on the Kings. But before we get, you know, into that game, just wanted to go back, mate, and just get your take on how the Breakers got into this position.
Great question. Look, I think they've, out of all the teams in the NBL, have been able to put together the most complete import trio. Mm-hmm. And then you combine that with guys like Will McDowell-White and defensive juggernaut Isaiah Liafa. And then you've just got Tom Abercrombie, who's timeless. Mm-hmm. I think credit to Modi Mayor. I think he's been awesome. I think he's, a lot of people might have written him off before the year. I think I was definitely one of them after sort of seeing how he used to carry on as an assistant coach. But I think he's been really good, and he's got his guys playing hard, playing physical, and defensively they're just tough. And then offensively, when they can get the ball in Will McDowell-White's hands, coming off double staggers, coming off other on balls, high on balls, and Barry Brown is a walking microwave that can hit up in any second. And they've got really an NBA player in Jarrell Brantley that is probably one of, if not the premier two-way player in the comp. It's when you sort of lay it out like that, it's no wonder they've got to this position, even against what many would have thought is a runaway NBL winner in Sydney.
Yeah, and I do have to agree with you on Brantley. I thought, obviously he was great in that first game where they break his snatch, the win in Sydney. But the fact that he was on four fouls halfway through the third, and he was still able to make aggressive defensive stops, but keep it clean enough. That was absolutely baller. And, he was knocking him down from everywhere, just riding high off the confidence. But the sheer fact that he was able to get to four fouls, still play fairly aggressive defense, what looked like aggressive defense, but, whether that was just, purely lucky and the refs were like, I don't want to call that. But, he was able to definitely deflect balls and reject. And for me, it was, that from that game, it was, oh, dang. All right. That's that. You are wildly impressive, sir. That is an absolute baller move to be able to do that.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, he's taken the primary role of slowing down Xavier Cooks, and thus far has done a really good job of it, and pretty clearly won the matchup so far. But it's a 5-game series for a reason. X is hurt, which is pretty clear to see, which sucks. But game 5, championship on the line. It's going to be. I'm very excited, and I think. There's a couple of things that could sway it in either team's direction. I think Isaiah Liapa's been super important and sort of understated in this whole final series, because he's been so, I guess, involved in slowing down and preventing Vasiljevic from getting any sort of momentum. And I think that's going to be super important tomorrow night, that he does that, because DJ's that kind of big game shooter. You put him up there with like a Chris Goulding type, that he might miss 10 in a row, but then if he hits two, he's liable hit five. So I think that's a really important factor. And then for the Kings, I think getting Derek Walton a bit more involved, and I think the Breakers are doing a really good job of taking away his space to drive, and sort of primarily helping a lot off X and those sort of things. But I think if he keeps his dribble alive a little bit more and his probes, he's the type of guy that in these games they need someone to step up, and I think he's their guy. But who knows, Suarez could step on the court and hit some big shots. But yeah, look, there's a lot of things that could happen, and I think two of the best coaches in the league going at it. Both playing mind games with the refs, in press conferences and those sort of things. So it's all a bunch of fun.
It is indeed. And $3,500 fine has come through for Mr. Chase Buford. Do have to wonder, you do definitely have to wonder whether in regular season what might have happened. But at the same time too, I'm okay with it being a fine and both coaches actually being out there for the for the game 5. I think that would have been a bridge too far for them to step in and take that down. But a simple question that I missed at the start though was, Has there been too much physicality for your mind as a player who's played at that NBL one sort of level, much higher level than me? But you know, I'm looking at it and I'm seeing the physicality. Yep. I wouldn't say I'm seeing too much. I'm just seeing grand final basketball. Is that what you're seeing, or have you got a different take on it?
Oh, I've got a different sort of gripe, but I'm happy with the level of physicality. It's been awesome. It's a grand final series. It's not like they're favoring, in my opinion, favoring one side or the other with that. So I think it's been, as long as it's consistent on both sides, that's the only thing that matters. But I think throughout the year, it's been wildly inconsistent with how they ref the game. But for the purposes of tomorrow's game, or tonight when this podcast airs, I think yeah, bring it on. It's one game to win the championship. Put it all out there. Refs will probably put their whistles away. Hopefully they don't overcompensate and make it all about themselves. But we'll have to see and find out. But no, in a word, no. It's not too physical in my opinion.
Beautiful. All right, and just to circle back a little bit before we get into some predictions and margins, of course, for the final game. We talked about the keys for the Breakers. What have been the keys for the Kings in your mind thus far in this series?
Well, all year it's been the ability to get out and in transition. When they get out and run, it unlocks Justin Simon. It really plays into Derek Walton's strengths. Suarez runs the court well. Problem is they don't have X sort of being able to push the break like he usually does, which I think is why this series has gone to five games. If he was fully healthy, I just think he would have been able to put up, I don't know, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals one night, and yeah, blown a game that was very close, wide open. But he hasn't been able to do that, so yeah, we'll have to see.
We definitely will. All right, so let's do this, mate. What's guests always go first? What's your prediction, and what do you think the margin is going to be? It's basically so we've had a bit of back and forth. What do you think it's going to be in this game?
I've said Sydney all year, so I'm going to stick with it. I think Sydney, I'm calling one of two things. Walton goes off for somewhere between 25 and 35 and sort of wins in the championship. I think he still hasn't shown that in this final series, but first game, he was almost there, and then he had those cramps, and then game two, he was ruled out and sort of has been okay since, but is due. So I think he's going to go off tomorrow night, or I think Vasiljevic is going to get loose and get open for a couple of threes, and then once he's hit a couple, he's a nightmare because he can actually put it on the floor and get to the rim. Yep. I think the Sydney Kings will be too much. My heart wants the Breakers to win, just because I really want to see Will McDowell White and the Breakers guys do it, but I'm going to stick with Sydney. Let's say, I don't know, 4 points, close one.
Let's keep it tight. All right. Look, I'll flip it. I'll go the other way. Look, now I know it's going to be difficult, but you've got obviously McDowell White. The two games he balled out, Breakers won. Brantley, similar. Abercrombie, which I talked about, Abercrombie and Vasiljevic, they're really good metrics for their team's success. If Abercrombie's having a great game, which he did in that fourth game, or Vasiljevic is having a great game, look out for the Kings. Look, I'm going to, just because you went Kings, I'll go the Breakers. I think it's going to be tough, but if those guys can actually back up those performances they had and had similar sort of style performances, and it's going to take everyone though. Like, it's going to take all the Breakers to get over the Kings. You know, what's X going to be like? Ooh. That's undercooked. A big question. That's going to be
fun, I guess, intended. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, that's going to be a big question mark, because obviously that can go either way, and especially if they over under plan for, you know, Cooks being out there, that's always tricky. But yeah, look, I'll take the Breakers. Again, I'm going to call it tight, though. I'm going to say Breakers after an OT. So yeah, let's really steer the boat out.
But who ties the game at the end of the game? Who's the big play?
The big play. I'm going to say, let's go Sean Bruce in the corner. Tying it up, and, you know, really put it out there. And I can say that,
I think,
with
Sportsbet's offering $50 odds on that one.
Only 50? Come on. I can confidently be a bit free and loose with my predictions here on the final game, because had a guest host on for Matt Mack and McIntyre. He's going to be joining me in the regular sort of hot seat on the commentary for the Caps. And we bet some chicken, so 12 piece. Unfortunately, he lost. So I'm already up. So I'm walking into this one rather confident. And Macca, if you're out there, I'm ready when you are, buddy.
Where are you going?
Probably Yardbird. Probably Yardbird.
Yeah, nice.
You know, in the valley. Keep it simple. You know, the original spot.
Very good.
But yeah, 12 piece. Look. Don't know if I'll go the full Jamaican jerk, but we'll see what kind of mood I'm in. But all right. Well, there's our predictions locked in. Obviously, that one is going to be Wednesday. This podcast will go out tomorrow morning or Wednesday morning. We'll pump that out quickly. But since we've got a WNBL and an NBL game, on and happening, I thought we might kick it a little bit old school. We'll do just a cheeky NBL crack'em. With thanks to the guys at the local card shop of Woolloongabba. Now, mate, I've got what have we got here? I believe it's a nine pack of Futura 1996 NBL basketball cards.
Ooh, yeah, 96. Now,
yeah. How old were you in 96?
I was four years old. So
okay,
didn't know what basketball was. Hopefully, if I get under overs, give one. If I can get two, it's a miracle.
All right, let's see how we go. Well, we'll keep it a little bit different to normal. We'll keep it flowing here a bit today. We'll do the regular Kraken, which you've obviously been through before. I'll read the backs of the cards. I'll avert the name. We won't go too dive and leave you hanging on. You know, name clues or things like that. You know, it's going to be a bit hard for you to, you know, guess a name you flat out don't know if one or two of them come up. So we'll keep it moving. I'll keep it a little bit shorter than normal. Then we might do a 2-on-2 draft at the end and put that up on the socials and see who's the better mini GM. Look,
I like it.
Let's rip this thing open and get into it. All right. Ooh. We have a cool. All right, there's some nice cards. There's some nice cards. I think two's doable. Maybe three. We'll see.
Oh, sounds like there's a coach in there somewhere. Hopefully, current coach or something like that.
Oh, look.
Yeah, or administrator. Mate. We'll see.
You never know. All right. Oh, big clue early. The Alabama Slammer rejected. Rejected a deal from Townsville to stay with the Wildcats. Played the game of his life in game 3 of the grand final against the Giants with 34 points to secure his third title with the Wildcats. One of the perennial champions and gentlemen of the Mitsubishi Challenge, the 14-year veteran had 15 points per game in 1995 and will again add power and grace to Perth's front line.
It's Crawford, what's his first name?
Perfect, mate. I'll take it. James.
James Crawford. There you go.
Number 7 for the Wildcats. Great last name, that one. You got the same one.
There you go.
All righty. Let's keep it rolling. Next card. Might be a little bit trickier. I'm going to put you down for one, though, for sure. All right. Plucked from little-known Washburn College. Somebody surprised everyone by leading the Mitsubishi Challenge in field goal shooting at 62%. Scored 24.6 points at a night and was the second best rebounder in the game with 14.7 a night. The best imported big man the club has had, somebody is a left-hander with a fine post-game who runs the floor and works well in tandem with Derek Rucker.
Oh, no idea.
That's going to be a tricky one. The center for the Suns, Clarence Tyson.
Good on you, Clarence. Congrats on your career, big guy. No idea.
No idea. That's okay. It's all good. All right. Ooh, next one. Here we go. Somebody perhaps had a better season than Somebody perhaps had a better season than when he won the league's MVP award in 1990. Second to Andrew Gaze in scoring at 30.3 points per game and MVP voting. Also logged 8.3 assists and 2.3 steals a night, ranking third in both categories. One of the main reasons behind the Suns' emergence, somebody is a steadying influence on a young team and a clutch performer who led the Mitsubishi Challenge in shot attempts with 579. Will be
the Rucker?
It is. I was gonna throw you a clue there and say
the last his teammate. Made me think of it.
Yep.
That you just read out. Tyson.
Yep.
But I knew, yeah, Derek's not shy getting him up. Short attempts sort of gave that away and then sort of in the running for MVP. So averaging 30 points a game, that was, Derek Rucker.
Nice. Right. You're on two, mate. There you go. All right. Next card. The 1995 season was a big one for somebody, establishing himself as one of the premier young players in the league in just his third season in the Mitsubishi Challenge. Somebody played consistent basketball over four quarters to add 15 points at 60%. That is not much to go off. I'm not going to lie. That is Martin Catalini. And if you...
the cat.
If you genuinely got that at home, you are a basketball sicko. I'm not going to lie about that.
He was an incredible player, though, Martin Catalini.
He was.
He was awesome. Adelaide 36ers, from memory as well. What was he? Was it a West Sydney Razorback? He was Illawarra Hawks for a little bit, was he not?
Yeah, went around, like a lot of players, went around the league a little bit. But, had himself a fairly decent career. A name I recognize, actually. All right. That doesn't help you, though. Leading the league in bumps, bruises, and crowd jeers. Somebody plays hard every night, taking basketball to the edge. Somebody always acquires a tough defensive assignment and hits the boards 5.5 a night. Townsville loved his in-your-face approach. They signed him for 1996, adding toughness in their front line. Here he is in a Newcastle Falcons jersey, but he has... There's one thing I do.
I've got two people in mind, but you finish.
He's moved to something the Futura did. They've put move to Townsville. So from the Falcons, move to Townsville.
So there's two people that have come to mind, and I realize I need to make a decision. I'll put them both forward, and then I will make my decision.
Yep.
Shane Folling or Grant Kruger.
I can tell you one of those is correct.
Oh, so move to Townsville. Let's go with Shane Frolling, but I'm going to kick myself. It's Grant Kruger. So.
You're right. You're going to kick yourself because it was Grant Kruger.
Damn it.
You had it.
I had it. They were both super physical and known for being super physical. So
indeed.
I actually played against Grant Kruger. He was running around when he was coaching Mackay. Years and years and years ago when it was a QBL.
Nice.
And he wasn't shy. Those elbows are still pointing. And he's not the type of dude you want to run into in a dark alley, nor or one of his screens. So there you go. Oh,
nice. Well, look, you had it. You swerved. That's life.
And I blew it.
But, you know, get credit for it. Get credit for it. That's for sure. All right. Was it third last card? I would say all three doable. All three doable. But
wow.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Regained his 1992 form with a return visit to the league's all-first team, averaging a typical all-round numbers, 20 points per game, 9.2 boards, and 3.4 assists, all in under 40 minutes a game. Led his team brilliantly to its third title with MVP honours in the finals. A rugged yet mobile forward who can defend most spots on the floor, bang inside, or launch the three. He is the heart and soul of the Wildcats.
Oh, yeah, Tony Rollinson. Please. No.
No. One Andrew Vlahov.
Ah, of course.
Yeah, the man mountain.
Rollinson was too early. Mm-hmm. Is that too early for Rollinson? There you go. Ah.
All good.
An NBL legend.
All good. Hey, Tony Rollinson was a good guess. All right, I got two cards left. Again, I think they're gettable. I think they're gettable, but we'll never know. A starter for the Bullets again last season, but his minutes were down with the arrival of John Reilly, who gave the club more scoring at guard small forward, still a handy rebounder with 6.3, and defender somebody gets some front court help from fellow veteran Mark Dalton this year. Acquired from Sydney, somebody must become more of a scoring threat in 1996. So they're a Brisbane legend.
Shooting guard?
Forward.
Forward.
Name in the rafters.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of Ronnie the Rat or Robert Sibley.
Again, one of those is correct.
All right. I'm going to go with my gut and just say Robert Sibley.
Congratulations, young sir. Number 52.
Yes.
Is indeed Robert Sibley. That's three, mate. You're on fire. You're on fire.
I'll take it.
All right.
I knew more players in 96 than I thought I did. So there you go.
This is actually quite a good pack, but they're all good packs from the local card shop of Woolloongabba. Can't lie there. All right, last card, and it's a rather special insert, an Outer Limits card. Numbered card as well, 1931 of 6,000. So there was a few
special
out there.
One.
There was a few out there, but still. All right. No one in the league executes the pull-up like like somebody. Backing his judgment from beyond the arc for the quick score in transition. Second only to Darryl Pearce in three-pointers made all time, somebody has superb balance and technique to bury opponents from anywhere on the floor. The tray accounted for 47% of somebody's shots, and last year he was 82 of 220 for 37% from three.
Pretty famous guy.
I'll give you the Tigers.
Yeah, Andrew
Tigers
Gaze, is the Andrew team. Gaze, Andrew
yeah,
Gaze.
You got it, mate. Oh, there you go. Four out of nine. One of them was a checklist card. So obviously a bit tricky to do Crack'em with a checklist card. But
Look,
that's half, mate. You've done quite well there. 50%. That's better than
that was a great pack. That was a great pack.
Mate, like I said, they're all great packs from local card shop of Woolloongabba. But yeah,
shout out to the fellas.
A particularly good one, this one. All right, mate, let's flip the switch. Now, you are our guest on the show, so I give you the option of which you would like. We're gonna do snake draft. So if you choose to go first, you'll have the first pick. I'll then have the next two, and then you will round us out with the final. Which would you like? First pick or second and third?
First.
Yeah. So should I just put Andrew Gaze over in your pile then?
Yeah, please.
This GM stuff's tricky, right?
Yeah.
Look, Give me, I'm going to take the Alabama Slammer.
Yep.
And also, so he's a forward slash center. And look, give me a former MVP in Derek Rucker as my guard. So
nice.
Your available options are Grant Kruger, Robert Sibley, Andrew Vlahov, Martin Catalini, or Clarence Tyson.
I think I'll be taking Andrew Vlahov.
Andrew Vlahov, finals MVP himself. Oof. That that looks pretty good, mate.
Look, yours is not too bad yourself. So. But yeah, look, Gaze is a bit of a trump card inside. We could have done it without Gaze, and I reckon that would have been a little bit more fun.
Ah, look, you know, maybe, but is what it is, and I've done that to some of our other guests, where I've left Gazy in, and you know, then taken him for myself later in the draft. So it's only fair that, you know, swings and roundabouts. Eventually, it had to happen that someone would jump in and take it from me. But look, I'll get those up on the socials. We'll let the people decide. Last time it was very tight. I believe I beat Anthony by literally one vote. So,
Wow. Yeah,
and the thing I would suggest in this, mate, feel free to vote for yourself, because I probably will.
Noted.
But that is going to round up our first show for the year, for this week, not just the evening, but for the week. That's going to tick off WNBL finals action and NBL finals action. Obviously, we've got very important games throughout the week. Look, we'll have to see whose predictions are correct. I'm totally okay with Townsville Fire winning the lot. Love that. And I'm actually okay with either team winning in the NBL. I think Kings have had a great season.
They can be unlikable, though, I got to admit.
They
can be quite petulant.
At
times, but I think they're incredibly talented. They're a good team, but I would be equally stoked if I want to be right here, but I'd be equally stoked if New Zealand Queen is a great story. They're a great team. They play the right way. So
exactly. There's
really, basketball is the winner and the most corny way to end the podcast ever. So there you go.
Well, yes. On all fronts, but and you know, we basically, everybody's got what they wanted, and that was a 5-game series. So as you say, everyone's a winner.
But as long as the refs don't ruin it, we'll be happy.
Oh, you had to say it out loud, didn't you? You had to put it in the universe.
I always just got to. Anyway, we won't dive down the rabbit hole.
No, all good. Again. All right, that's going to wrap us up here. Please do jump on the socials. Like the stuff that's out there. Give us a share. If you would like to jump on the Spotify page and follow the link to maybe be a paid supporter, that would be great. 99 cents a month is all it costs, and that helps a lot here at Ball Don't Lie Australia. In the meantime, though, until you're listening to us again, just remember that ball don't lie.